Now we're going to go to the last three of the Tarantino movies that we're going
to
do for this.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Okay, this is like part two. So if they watch part
this is,
one,
this
they,
is a new episode. They
it's all going at the same
it's
time.
It's getting posted a week later.
Is it?
Yeah, we post them each week.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Want to redo that intro?
No, I don't actually. Let's continue. Let's do this. Okay. We're very started. All right.
I'm Tyler. He's Chris.
Cool. Yeah, that's who we are. All right. So, Kill Bill. That's going to be the first movie we're talking about. Then we're going to talk about Kill Bill, which Kill Bill is going to put like just one movie. So, Kill Bill Volume 1, 2, or this is just one movie, The Whole Bloody Affair. Inglourious Basterds will be the second one. And then Django Unchained. Mm-hmm. Yes. I left the last three as mine. I get to kind of take over as like the lead on this stuff.
Yeah.
Because this is where I think that Kill Bill, Jesus Christ, where Tarantino really took off in my mind. Mm-hmm. Kill Bill is the greatest Tarantino movie of all time. That's for me. Mm-hmm. The entire movie is so amazing to me. Like, just like the whole like volume one and two, I can like, I'll watch them both back and like just back to back. And that's like what? That's like 111 minutes plus 136 minutes, so 247 minutes. Which yeah, I think that's not that too long, whatever, I guess.
Yeah, it's like 3.5 hours, right?
It's just enjoyable the entire, all the way through. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a single part in any of the movies that I don't like.
That's funny, because along before we went on this little adventure of rewatching all the movies, mm-hmm. You said you liked the first part but didn't like the second, like most people.
I did say that. No, I said I liked Kill Bill. That I know people had that disagreement on that part, but I think I
must be thinking of a conversation with someone else.
Yeah, because I definitely said that I enjoyed the entire saga.
Nice.
I agree that the second part doesn't have as much of an impact as the first part.
Yeah.
Well, but then again,
the first part's the volume one is has a lot more action to it.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
But like the part two, like it's not as actiony, but like it's just as intense
and just as memorable as well. Cause like
yeah,
part two, people I guess forget about the fact that part two has the teacher, the sensei,
has Pai Mei.
Pai Mei, thank you. I can't remember his name. Pai Mei. It has the whistle that cannot get anybody out of my head. Like this time, like a few weeks.
It's in the first part too.
It's in the first. Oh, you're right. But it's more prominent though in the second part.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously,
and it has
it focuses
the buried alive scene, which is
yes,
fantastic.
That scene is just like so intense. Like you're. Mm-hmm. Did you know, by the way, Tarantino directed a CSI episode?
Yes.
Where. Well, I'm not talking to you, Tyler, so shut up.
I know.
God. I hate Tyler.
Continue, Chris.
Did you know that Tyler's also a bad person? But, Jesus Christ.
I got excited because you're talking about it.
You were like, yes.
I've heard of that.
I know what that is.
I understand that reference.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you, Captain America. All right.
Cool Whip Vagina.
So.
Refer to our superhero movies podcast.
It's not out yet.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I mean, yes, it is. For the people listening.
I mean, it's to record the next week after they came out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. All right, anyways. I talk about CSI, that's right. You're in an episode of CSI where the same idea was, like, one of the CSI people was, like, buried alive. Mm-hmm. And for me, as a guy that's not a fan of CSI, that was actually a really great episode. Mm-hmm. And then you watch any other episode of CSI, and I want to blow my brains out. I want Travolta to blow my brains out in the back of the car.
Oh man, I shot Chris in the face.
I would much prefer that, by the way. Man. So anyways, back to the back to Kill Bill. Not CSI.
Yeah.
Although that should be like a part of a podcast we do later. Just the most torture podcast for both of us.
watch episodes of CSI. Oh, God. Let's not.
Yeah, let's not do that. Anyways.
But yeah, we talked about the coffin scene earlier. That's if we're splitting them up, like favorite scenes for each one, coffin scene is my favorite for volume two.
Yeah, that makes total sense. You know what made volume one so good, actually? Didn't remember this
what
part.
What made volume one so good?
Lucy Liu.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Lucy Liu, you know, you look at her like that very sweet girl, whatever. She's a very nice person. In real life, she's like super nice. She always comes as like such a down to earth person. And then you see her as the one of the members of the Deadly Viper Assassin Squad.
Yes,
that was right. Which, great name by itself. Uh-huh. And she's like this evil, sadistic, like,
yeah, she person. Goes from like cute to like.
Well, it's like because like that scene where like the boardroom scene, where the guy like like just disagrees with her. Yeah. And then she's like, she talks about how, you know, I'm okay with that, blah blah blah. She walks down to him and slices him. With their samurai swords. Yep.
It's so fantastic.
And everybody's in the room is like, oh. I need to preface this. I should preface this, by the way, by saying that I love samurai movies.
Yes.
And so, like, an American samurai movie like this right here that's actually done properly. Mm-hmm. It's obviously, it's proven now. You can combine Western and Eastern movies, because this is very much a Western-Eastern movie.
Yes.
You know? I mean, while it has more of a style, like, it's supposed to be geared towards Eastern sort of stuff right there, mm-hmm. but it's very much, has a lot of, like, Western, like,
God, like stuff, that,
clearly.
Kind of getting into why I love Tarantino so much, it's because he genuinely loves movies, and Kill Bill is definitely the prime example of how much he loves movies.
Oh, yeah.
You just look at it, and it's so beautiful.
The animation scene, where it like gives like the introduction to what is her name? The
Oren something.
Was that? No,
Oren
Oren was the is Lucy Liu.
Yeah, it's the introduction to her character.
Oh yeah. Stupid. Sorry, what am I talking about here? Some reason I was thinking of like the other girl, like the huge like. I had that in my mind. I was thinking about the girl with the huge like ball. That he was like she's like trying to kill the bride with. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I was thinking about her. They turned because
what's her name?
I don't know what her name is, but she's like probably one of the best parts of the scene. Also, is like because she's so scary.
Yeah, she's a little girl and she's intimidating.
She's like the scariest little girl I've ever seen. Actually, no.
I think her name's Go-Go in the movie, right?
I think probably.
Yeah.
Crap! I should like rewatch Kill Bill again today, which I decided to watch Django again today. But like. She's the second scariest little girl you'll ever see.
Yes.
You know who the first is?
Who's the first?
Any of those little girls that try to sell you Girl Scout cookies. Because here's the thing, though, about them. Because you're scared to open the door because you know that they're there. You're going to buy, like, 20 boxes of chocolate, you know, mint cookies, right? Because you can't say no to them. Because now in your mind, also, you can think about this little girl right here with the huge, like... whatever you call that thing, the not sledgehammer, but the
mace.
The mace, yeah. You think about her coming to your door, asking you to buy cookies. How many boxes of cookies would you buy? But
I would buy so many cookies. I'd buy them all.
Like, hey, listen. I'm gonna sell my computer off, and I'm going to get some cookies for you. Okay.
I'm gonna take out a loan. Let me just go to the bank.
I'm gonna pay their loan. but no, like this. God, this movie is so good. I Tyler talked about because like you would like just fawn over like the Pulp Fiction scenes.
I'll be drooling all over Kill Bill as well.
I mean, it's just like I can't think of a single boring scene in the whole movie.
Yeah,
like, oh god, what, like, what, maybe, no, no, I still can't, no, nothing.
It's great.
Yeah. I think you have some trivia for this one, actually, about the car.
Yes, the Pussy Wagon. Quentin Tarantino owns it. Which is amazing.
Well, you know what? To be fair, I mean, the guy, which that's something, by the way, I should have brought up during Reservoir Dogs. I think it was Reservoir Dogs. Was it Pulp Fiction? Crap. I can't remember which one it was. But Tarantino actually had his car stolen.
Yeah.
During either, I think it might have been Pulp Fiction.
It's Pulp Fiction. Because his car was the one Vincent owns.
Oh, that's right. It was stolen. And then it was like, what, a couple years ago, it was like found.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like some of the kids are trying to like strip it down or whatever, like wanting to strip it down for like parts.
Yeah.
That's a very surprising find, by the way. That doesn't ever happen usually, so.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I had to drive around in the Pussy Wagon. Couldn't drive around in this convertible.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, something about another. But I'm trying to think this is right up for volume two right now, or volume one, I mean. Goodness.
Want another piece of trivia while you think?
Yeah.
The bottom of the bride's shoes in the crazy 88 scene say fuck you on the bottom.
Oh, I know what it was. Even though David Carradine plays Bill, do you know who it was, Tyler? Do you know who it was that was originally offered the role of Bill?
Who was it?
Kevin Costner.
Mm, that's right.
Who I think is a great actor. And that would have been interesting to see him in that role. Because, I mean, Carradine did a great job, by the way. I'm going to just tell you now. Carradine, who, unfortunately, passed away. No, that's not laughing. That's not funny. Passed away.
That's a good way to word it. Unfortunately, passed away.
In a very tragic manner.
World's greatest dad style, baby.
I was about to say that, actually. I was about to say, if you want to see how he died, essentially, watch a movie, World's Greatest Dad. You'll get the idea. Oh god, we shouldn't laugh. This is horrible.
It's awful.
Tarantino's hearing this.
Why did you listen to the second part, Quentin? I made fun of you in the first.
All right, so we're gonna cut that part out. I have a comfortable with that part, honestly. It's pretty bad.
Leave the part about David Carradine.
No. Anyways, David Carradine did a great job. I don't think about who else. The fact that Michael Madsen was in this movie again.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's fantastic in this.
Yes, he is. God. He has that stupid whistle.
Yeah.
That will never leave you. And. Oh, God. Yeah, that's great, Tyler. some great stuff going on there. Something else about Tarantino's, like, he does a thing in this. He has, like, people have, like, different names. They have, like, they have actual names, and they have, like, different names to them, like, their nicknames.
Alias.
Alias, yeah. And it's, like, in the first one, you only know her as the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And
anytime they say your name, it gets beeped out.
Yep.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. And apparently, like, Uma Thurman and Tarantino talked about making this movie back whenever they made Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
And it was like, what, 10 years later? I think it was like 94?
Yeah.
Was it 94, 95?
94 was when Pulp Fiction came out.
Yeah. So basically, since like, I guess 2003 then, I guess it would have been. So basically, it's about 10 years or so. I'm talking about making this movie. Mm-hmm. Probably did. Which, oh my god, I'm so glad they did.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. So So I guess the first part, my favorite part was the, I guess just everything, actually. I can't even think of the best part, actually.
I'm going to have to be cliche and go with the crazy 88 scene.
Man, as great as that is, I mean, that's, by the way, that's probably, like, absolutely should be the best part. But just because the shot is so amazing, when it's like, never, yeah, she cuts off the top of Lucy Liu's head.
Oh,
and, like,
right.
The camera has, like, the shot of, like, the scalp, like, flying through the air.
Yes, that's beautiful.
I'm immature, by the way. And I think that's, like, the best part of the movie.
Oh, man.
It's hilarious.
This scene is, like, I mean, like, this volume one is just, like, if you're a gore hound, it's a perfect movie.
Everybody who still has their limbs, leave the limbs. They're mine or whatever.
She said. Yes.
Those limbs are mine. Get out with your lives. It's like,
except for you.
Oh yeah,
that's right. Drunk.
I love the zoom in stuff. Like just like all. I love this. The cinematography of this movie was just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them were just fantastic. I know. A lot of my friends had issues with the ending of Volume 2, with how they killed off Bill. It's like, here's the thing though. It is such a great way for that character to go out.
I know.
And the fact that, like, there's, like, it was, like, so, like, trying to describe it. It's like solemn.
You're expecting a violent confrontation, and then it's a vocal one.
And especially since,
and it's
like,
just as intense.
Especially since, like, the guy not only, like, basically put her in the coma and did, like, all this stuff to her, he did probably one of the greatest sins of all time, mm-hmm. making her think that her kid was dead. And then mm-hmm. showing the kid at the very end, like, not very in the, when she shows up at the house.
Yeah.
There's a kid, and you're like, how do you deal with this?
Uh-huh.
Mentally, like, physically, she was totally, like, ready to go. Like,
you're thinking before she walks in there, you're like, all right, now she's gonna fucking kill Bill.
And it's like.
And then the kid shows up, and you're like, well, what does she do?
Right? And it's like, I mean, don't know. I don't know how like, you would handle it as a mother, I guess. I mean, it's like a motherly instinct that kicks in immediately, and you're like, oh, crap. But no, I think that, like, the way that they took him out was perfect.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's like the intensity of that entire, like, conversation that they're having, and if she finally just, like, hits him,
mm-hmm.
that was it. I was like, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he, like, realized he was gonna die.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, kinda, like,
and just kind of accepted it.
Yep. He's like, I just walked off and then he fell over. I was like, oh.
He's like, she wins.
Yep. I was like, oh. It was absolutely satisfying for me. I thought it was a satisfying ending, a satisfying movie. I can't recommend it anymore because it's just,
fantastic.
It's fantastic, yeah.
I really hope that Tarantino, keeps his promise next year and releases it in cinemas as The Whole Bloody Affair.
Oh my god, I'm gonna watch that so many times.
I'm gonna grab a belt and go into a theater and
is it gonna have like it should have an intermission if he's like, because that character is such a huge like film person.
Yeah.
That, like, yeah, I hope he puts, like, an intermission in there.
That'd be fantastic.
Let me go pee at some point in time. It's a long movie. It's a great
movie.
I mean, I don't usually, like, go for, like, the long movies, but, like, man, this one, like, Lord of the Rings, that sort of stuff right there is, like, oh, they're so long, but they're so good to listen and watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Trivia time?
Yes.
Okay, I've got some.
Okay, go ahead.
You probably already know this. The crazy 88 scene goes black and white to avoid a NC-17.
Yeah.
Let's see. Robert Rodriguez scored the film for $1.
Yep.
Which
is great. Which, really fast. The score, like, he took, like, I remember, talking about El Mariachi.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he took, like, the first, like, first like take of one of his friends like doing like the guitar playing. It's like, that's great for music, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm imagining him like doing like the score for this movie going, oh, that looks great, You just put down one note. It's great. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I was just warming up.
No. Or because I need an actual soundtrack. No, just one note. It's fine. It's great. We'll do it in post. This is post.
We will talk about Robert Rodriguez on another podcast.
Yes.
It'll be called the...
I'm going to go preface, by the way, saying I like Rodriguez, so I love Rodriguez movies.
The great American flop artist.
No. That's terrible. I was actually going to say...
I also like Robert Rodriguez, by the way.
Yeah. And we love Tarantino.
It'll be an interesting podcast when we get to him. Yeah. But, body count, Chris. This will be interesting.
Want to take a guess?
I have no idea.
There were 700... Stupid. I read this wrong. Put a zero in there.
700!
I put a zero at the very end. I'm sorry, but I put a zero at the very, like the middle of the number. Because it's 75. It's 705.
Gosh. You're a genius, Chris. Shut up.
It was 75.
Do you know how many were in each?
No.
Okay. There are a total of 60 fucks in both movies. There's 20 in volume one.
Are you counting the one with the crazy, creepy doctor?
My name's Buck, and I like to fuck. 20 in volume one, 40 in volume two.
A little trivia for you, and real fast, by the way, about this. When I was first watching this movie, I was young, a little younger. My dad was like, "We're gonna skip this scene with the doctor. Everything else is fine in the movie, but just that one bit."
He goes into detail about talking about fucking comatose patients.
It's like, yeah, you don't need to see that part of the movie. It's fine. Which, by the way, as a 12-year-old when this came out, I think I was like 15 when I probably saw it. Actually, I think I was like 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I can handle that kind of scene. It wasn't actually visually. It was just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just go into great detail talking about it.
Yeah.
I was probably 15 when I watched this.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay, so... Now we go to the great misspelling. Inglourious Bastards.
The greatest of misspellings. yeah, Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
Off the bat, great opening scene.
Oh yeah, where the
Christoph Waltz.
Thank you. Jeez, I can't remember his name for a second there. Was like as the Jew hunter.
Mm-hmm. That scene is intense.
Yeah. Actually, I was gonna start right at the bat by saying earlier we were talking about how like I watched this movie, and what was the other one I saw? It was the Pulp Fiction. Mm-hmm. I was like, Tarantino's, but I guess like I kind of like rewatch this movie, and now it's like one of my favorite Tarantino movies. Mm-hmm. It's such a good movie.
All right, yeah, you're gonna have to tell me like what you thought about it before.
Well, like, before like I should go ahead and say this, but I'm a huge like World War II junkie. I think Tyler could probably tell you all about like how I just. It's about World War II a lot because it's a great, interesting part of our history.
We have very many conversations about American history.
Oh, yeah, we do. Most of it not right, but, you know, whatever. It's cool. And so, like, to me, I was like, this is, like, so, like, wasn't offensive. I won't go that way, but it was offensive, but it was just,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, we should mention that, like, at the very end... They kill Hitler.
Yeah, which I was like, oh.
Yeah. So that's the part where Chris is...
Yeah. Well, and also that one shot, which I think I still don't like, where it shows, like, Hitler's face getting, like, pounded with a bunch of bullets. And it's like, you can tell. It's, like, the fakest thing in...
It's fantastic!
That's not the worst dummy though. The worst dummy in all of Tarantino movies is Marvin in the trunk. That's the worst dummy in all of Tarantino movies. So like,
they all look great
because you can tell it's not actually Marvin. And this right here, you can tell like it's like Hitler is like looks like it looks like Christopher Lloyd, and Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It looks that fake.
It's yes. Like, it's great. Do we go
back to like the, what was that, the 80s or whatever? So what happened? And also should say this. I am a huge Brad Pitt fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so he made this movie so amazing because like Arrivederci, like his, with that accent, what he says.
Arrivederci.
That accent.
He's so... That's probably my favorite scene in the movie.
Really, that's your favorite scene?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair. I think the scene, just the first scene showing Adolf Hitler with his cape.
That was pretty great, but I'm going to have to go with Brad Pitt's Italian accent.
Oh God! Where do you start with this? Like, because you have like you have the Jew hunter, the bear Jew. God!
That one thing I'll definitely deduct points from this movie for is Eli Roth's performance. He's
you like Roth, really?
You know, what it is? I can feel like he's very excited to be there when I'm watching the movie. And it's like, that kind of takes away from it for me. Like,
no, I thought that was fun. Michael Fassbender.
Oh, he's great.
Fassbender? Is his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why not? He's great. That scene, by the way, is like my favorite scene, like where... They're down there at like the basement.
Yeah, they're like the little tavern.
Yeah. that scene is just, I love it.
That's my second favorite.
That's something, by the way, that Tarantino does, which is, he is a very, very brave writer. Because like, you think that like people like Michael Fassbender would be like an important character for the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Gets killed. And I'm like, And it's like, I mean, yeah, he's an important character or whatever, but like, Tarantino's brave enough to kill off that kind of person.
Michael Fassbender's a big enough star to where, like, he wouldn't be an expendable character. But he is.
Yeah, apparently so. It's like, all right, that's good. Because, I mean, you see so many times, like, when it's like, well, obviously, you know, this person's in this movie, so he's going to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I had the same mindset, and I was like, "Oh, I'm wrong." Mm-hmm. Cut him off.
Yeah, that scene is just such a testament to how great Tarantino is at building suspense.
Because
mm-hmm. the tension in that room is just, it's thick like butter.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I didn't realize I looked it up. You know who plays Churchill?
Who?
Rod Taylor.
What do I know him from?
He is a very, very famous actor. Who I guess you have absolutely no idea who that is. That would take too long for you to describe that to talk about him. So okay. You probably wouldn't have seen anything he's been in. But he has been around for eons, it feels like. He's like, I think he's like, God, he's probably 89 or 90 years old by now.
Ah.
Yeah. He's a great actor. You just watch some of his movies and you'll see.
All right.
So I guess you know who that person is. It's fine, whatever. So I think that's my trivia for that
part. Look, man, I just don't know. I just don't recognize the name.
It's fine, whatever. That's by the way, something else I should go ahead and say that I make fun of Tyler all the time for not knowing people just because it's funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hilarious, actually. And by the way, I'll go completely disagree with you on the fact that I loved Eli Roth in this movie. Yeah. I thought he was terrific as the bear Jew. There was actually a scene that was cut that like showed how to get that the bat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, apparently, I guess that part got apparently that part got cut. So it's like that's too bad.
Yeah. All I've got for the rest of this is like Christoph Waltz and Brad Pitt are both amazing in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Christoph definitely deserved his Oscar. Mm-hmm. And then I've got the number of fucks in this movie. That's all I've got.
My introduction to this movie was actually because all the news reports talking about how like they changed like the one letter to instead of having an A and had an E.
Really?
That was like my introduction to the movie. Remember that? Like how they
put, like was that a big deal?
Apparently so, because like it was like to avoid, like movie, because movie theaters were having like issues, I guess, like showing it's like, oh, they don't want that word.
Oh.
And like they're like,
you wait, know, so did they change it to E to like avoid people getting upset?
Maybe, but then again, it's also possible that Tarantino is just like that kind of person, so he just wants like, you know, Inglorious and Bastards like spelled wrong. So why not? Uh-huh. I love the fact that also there's like he just like threw a U in there someplace just because it's funny, I guess. It's like, what? I don't know. That's great. Cause like every time like I write it out, my autocorrect always goes to without the U in the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so death count. This one's at 396.
Mhm. And is that the most in any Tarantino movie?
It is. It's the most bloody Tarantino movie.
The theater scene is great.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't even talk about that except for the dummy.
That's right. The theater scene was pretty fantastic.
You know?
Because I heard laughter.
I'm going to change my favorite scene. Because that is fantastic.
The laughter was so just like...
It's the projection and like being projected into the smoke is so creepy. It's great.
Did you know that to like get the part, apparently, like she had to run a projector, like she had to prove she could run a projector to Tarantino, and that hit her. The movie she had to project was Reservoir Dogs.
Nice.
Had to do it properly. It's like, oh, that's pretty. All right, that's cool. I guess whatever.
I'm gonna. He goes under. I'm gonna have you project a really great movie.
And cut that part
it's
out.
It's like, oh, Reservoir Dogs. Really, Quentin? Yeah, it's really great. I mean, I agree with you, but...
All right.
So, number of fucks in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Only 23.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And were there any other words used, or just...
I'm not going to bother with this one.
Okay. Okay.
Because
you're going to bother with this next one.
Yeah.
Which is Django Unchained.
Yes. Django Unchained, which is probably my second favorite Tarantino film.
Mm-hmm. Mine too.
Let's see.
Absolutely second.
No problem. I'm trying to think of some things I can say. If we're gonna talk about performances like we have with all these movies, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh yeah, that was fantastic.
Probably the highlight of the film. Although I'm debating between him and Samuel L. Jackson as my favorite characters.
God,
they're both just such repugnant people.
when DiCaprio was shot, and like there's that zoom in thing.
Yes.
Samuel L. Jackson going,
no!
I lost it. Like, I was just, like, laughing so hard. That's what about Tarantino is, like, he makes the violence sound, like, not just be violent, it's actually funny. It's like, yeah. You see that part, like, where the,
it's fun!
Where they're doing the shootout, and, like, the guy, one of the guys gets shot, and, like, one of his own guys shoots him. He's like, you just shot me.
Yes.
He's like constantly. That guy had like more bullets in him than I have ever seen. Like a child. Still alive, by the way. That guy was still alive. The other guy that got shot was like getting shot over, like his body's getting shot over and over again. That Django was like hiding behind.
Yeah, yeah, the human shield.
So much blood in this movie. Oh man, this is probably like the first time I actually have seen a Western about slavery, or like not about slavery, sorry, a Western that deals with slavery, mm-hmm. and like in a very creative manner.
It's so weird, like. Slavery is just kind of a part of American history that we don't talk about.
Yeah.
And, I mean, now we're going to, because Django Unchained came out, and then 12 Years a Slave, which, of course, got the Oscar, which because they snubbed the slavery movie the year before.
I was actually gonna not say that this time around. Oh, God, it's so annoying, because, like, Django... I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We have a hatred of the Academy Awards, which as we rightfully should. That's crap. Unless, of course, you know, like people like Christoph Waltz gets like their Academy Award, then yeah, it's fine.
But then, you know, Christoph Waltz will get an Academy Award, and then they'll follow it up with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you ever see the Jim Carrey impersonation of
Matthew McConaughey? I have not.
Oh, okay, I'll delete that for you later.
All right.
Cool. That'll be also in the description below, by the way. For whatever reason. Anyways, DiCaprio's he's great in some movies and then not like well. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I should rephrase it, actually. He's a good actor, but then like he does the movies that are like so bad, like you can't. I don't care how good of an actor you are, just not very good. Mm-hmm. This one's one of those that he's a great actor in a great movie.
You know.
So.
Going back to Academy Awards really quick.
Oh God.
Do
we have to.
Well, just for this one thing, because Christoph Waltz won for this, but Leo was also nominated in the same category. Leo should have won it.
No, Leo doesn't get an Oscar.
Fuck you, Chris.
Apparently. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that's what they do to him. Yeah. All right, so... this one... I watched... Let's see, I think I watched this one after Inglourious. Mm-hmm. I should like... You know what part in the movie was like... That just like totally sold me on the movie?
What was it?
The opening credits. That was like, I watched opening credits and I was like, okay, this is going to be a great movie. And I just enjoyed every single second of this movie.
Yes.
It was surprising. I don't usually watch Jamie Foxx movies.
Yes.
Tom and I talked about how we don't think that he's like great of an actor, but like Tarantino does such a great job like making people into good actors.
Yeah, crazy thing like, about that. How he did that with John Travolta. I'm not gonna drop it, Chris. God damn it.
I mean, Jamie Foxx was amazing in
Django Unchained.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Chris, what if he's listening?
Ray. There we go, I got it. Ray, that's the other one that liked him in. Uh-huh. Oh, Dreamgirls. Due date.
You know, Due Date's a glorified remake of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but I like it.
He was also great in, as the voice, actually, by the way, of Rio. In Rio.
That movie can fuck itself.
Tyler doesn't like Rio. It's funny.
I don't like Rio.
It's funny to me. So I always like to bring it up if I can.
Brings it up in every conversation. Tyler, what did you have for dinner today? Remember Rio?
That's what I should do. That's what I should do for like now. I'm just like, just start bringing it up every day. All right. That'll be for later.
He never lays off with talking about Rio. Yeah. Chris, you're obsessed. You're obsessed with a children's movie.
Yeah. Oh God, I should start this up now. That's gonna be
Jesse
thing.
Eisenberg.
Okay, we're gonna cut a lot of this out, by the way.
Leave all of our Rio talk in.
No. All right. So, anyways,
you can't edit this, Chris. You're gonna do a bad job.
No, shut up. All right. So, do you have any trivia for this that you want to go start off with?
I have a lot of trivia.
I got one that I want to go and just throw it in there right now before you get to it, because I know you're probably going to. Do you know who Django was originally written for?
Will Smith.
Yep.
And he passed it because he didn't feel like Django was the lead. What a douche.
No. It wasn't just because of that. It was because of the fact that because Christoph Waltz's character, Dr. Schultz, that's a great name, by the way. Mostly with the shoes, the inserts. Anyways,
what?
Sorry.
I have no idea what you even just said.
That's fine. I'm laughing on something. Don't worry. Now, Will Smith was what Will Smith said that, like, because Christoph Waltz kills the bad guy, he's the main character. It's like, no.
Shut
You're
up.
You're an idiot.
Smith.
I like Will Smith.
Shut your stupid mouth. I like you, Will Smith, and I know you're listening. You told me how much you liked the Cohen episode, but you need to get your head out of your ass.
Yo, I like that Cohen episode. Keep it up. Keep it the good work. Had like the little dash.
And get jiggy with it, guys. Yeah, okay.
And this great Will idiom that we're in.
Will 2K.
Anyways.
God.
Oh, God, it's such like a... I mean, I'm sure he's a great guy, but that...
Yeah.
That just comes off as like so douchey.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so...
Get off your high horse, Will Smith.
Oh,
you worked with M. Night Shyamalan. Get over yourself.
That was a great movie. We should do a M. Night Shyamalan podcast.
Let's not.
I'll be in part of the Tyler Torture podcast.
I'll have no problem talking about The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable.
Okay. So what's your next piece of trivia?
Leo was having some problem with the slurs in one of the scenes. He was kind of getting uncomfortable, and Samuel L. Jackson took him aside and told him, "Motherfucker, this is just a normal Tuesday for us." And I think that's fantastic.
Do you also want to give the other DiCaprio trivia?
Oh, yeah, the one that everyone knows. Leo was so into a scene when he knows that he's being deceived by Django and Dr. Schultz. He was like so into just the scene and being furious that he slams his hand down on the table and breaks a glass. Now, that wasn't movie magic or anything. He actually broke a glass and cut his hand.
Did he actually rub his actual blood over Kerry Washington's face, or was that just like the fake blood?
That was probably after the fact. They were like, oh yeah, let's Quentin knew he was going to use it, so we just put fake blood on it.
I love the idea of like him like rubbing the fake blood on her like that.
I think Kerry Washington would have been like, okay, let's stop for a second.
It's like the mental like, just, like the image of that is like her like he just rubbed blood on my face. What do I do with this?
How about no?
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna get this washed off.
All right, Carrie, take five.
Yeah. Oh man. So my funny piece of trivia. You know how earlier talked about how like I like the movie Shaft?
Yes.
So apparently Django and Broomhilda are supposed to be like the great 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 grandparents of John Shaft.
Thus, oh, that's right.
The Broomhilda von Shaft.
Yes. I almost forgot about that. That's fantastic.
Oh, God.
I've been saying fantastic a lot in this episode, in these two episodes.
Well, let's be honest here. If you look up in the dictionary, the word Tarantino means fantastic.
Tarantino's chin is right next to it.
What does that mean? What does that mean? What should I say?
He's got a good chin. Oh my God, I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. So that's going to be that we can bleep. I'm going to bleep that in.
You guys can probably guess what I just said.
Yeah. He said the.
Sorry, Chris.
No, he said the word.
The N dash 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 word.
Oh God, that's how I spelled it. It was supposed to be the N dash 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 word, or the N dash 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 yeah word. Yeah, whatever. So total deaths in this movie.
Yes.
Go ahead and take a guess, Tyler.
I have no idea.
It's in the '60s.
67.
64.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yep.
Let's see. I'm turning.
One by dog. Which, wow. Apparently, like that scene was supposed to be like a lot longer.
Mm,
I cut right. He cut it down. Tarantino cut it down because apparently it would have traumatized the audience too much. Mm-hmm. It was that one in the fighting scene between the two slaves.
Oh yeah,
that one was cut down a whole lot too.
This is the only Tarantino movie I've seen in a cinema, and let me tell you, seeing that on a big screen with you know the sound and everything, it's an emotional experience.
Did you cry like a little baby again?
I didn't cry like a little baby, but there were points like just any scene where like. Slaves are getting beaten or anything. It, like I would tear up. It was harsh.
The part where he's begging him to stop like whipping her.
Oh my God!
And then he says one of the best lines in the movie, which is where he's like, "I like the way you beg," and then he says yeah. later on, "I like the way you die, boy."
Yep.
It's like. It's like that is so awesome.
You watch those really hard to watch scenes, and you're just like, yeah, Django, you kill those white folks.
Yeah, and it's like that is just that's fantastic. Oh man.
So a couple more pieces of trivia. The poker players. In one of the scenes, are using ears as currency.
Really?
Yeah, they're using slave ears.
Well, that's disturbing.
This was the first Quentin Tarantino film not edited by Sally Menke.
Oh, yeah, because she had died after Inglourious.
Yeah, 2010.
Oh, that's a trivia thing I forgot to bring up, by the way, by Glorious, which is that after every take, they would say, "Hi, Sally."
Yeah, that's right.
That's one of I like that. That's pretty nice. That's a great thing. Yeah, this was edited by some dude whose name just completely escapes me.
Yeah, I forgot his name already.
Fred Raskin, who edited Fast and Furious and Fast Five, and also Guardians of the Galaxy.
They're probably well edited movies.
Oh, I mean, yeah, sure.
Django Unchained visually is probably second to Kill Bill, one of Quentin's best movies.
Yeah. I think we both agree the fact that it's number two, as far as like his best movies. Of course, obviously, we disagree on like what the number one is.
Yeah.
But, like, this is easily number two, like, without any doubt. Like, I just, I love the music's great, except for one part.
Yeah, you texted me about this earlier today because you're watching it. Is it the rap song?
Yes. It makes no sense. Why is that there? All the music makes sense. I think there's another part, like, another rap song shows up, right? I think the, Right, now I think the other one shows up.
Isn't there only one?
I can't remember anymore. Either way, it's a fantastic movie, except for that one little part where it's like a rap song. I'm like, oh, what's this rap song doing here?
Didn't have a problem with it.
Okay. I mean, and I think that's like, it's just poorly placed, I guess. Mm. It's like the first time I've actually been like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, it drew me out of the moment was the biggest issue. Mm. You know? It's like, oh, darn it, that. I was like really in this moment right here, and all of a sudden, oh.
That's did weird. You have an issue where you, because I know I've warned you about it ahead of time, but did you have an issue where you felt like it was going to end after the big shootout, or like it was coming to an end and then it kept going for like another 30 minutes?
I had no issue with that, actually. I love that fact. I felt like, usually I don't like movies that have like that's like that fourth act pretty much kind of thing.
Yeah,
but I think that it saved itself, especially because of the fact that Tarantino shows up.
Yeah, as an Australian minor with the worst... I'm sorry, Quentin, I know you're listening. The worst Australian accent.
Think if he actually was listening to this, he'd be like, man, I like this Tyler guy. I love this Brimstone thing. Oh, it's this podcast about me. Oh, sweet. Oh, well, screw you, Tyler. But no, it was actually a lot of fun. Like, the fact that it actually had like the soundtrack, especially, I want to point this out, because it had like original score and also used like other songs as well, which is actually it used it to great effect. Mm-hmm. Except that one scene. But no, Tarantino being blown up by dynamite is probably his best death on screen.
It's great.
His second best death actually is in Desperado.
Yes.
Where he's like, he goes back to be on the toilet or whatever. And he's like,
you wouldn't say it's from Dusk Till Dawn?
We're gonna talk about that later.
that's another podcast.
Which, by the way, we keep saying that sort of thing.
I know. We're not talking about From Dusk Till Dawn at all until that podcast.
Yeah.
There's a little tease for you, another tease.
Yeah, we'll tease it. So just tease it.
31 fucks in this movie.
Really?
Little more than Inglourious Bastards.
I thought it actually was way less than that. I just remember like only a few times I actually used it. Mm-hmm. Huh, I remember that there being 31.
116 uses of the N-word.
Now that one I do remember very much so.
And you know what? It's fine.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, like, okay, maybe a few years ago, it was kind of like, oh, don't use that word, blah, blah. Like, it was just the 90s or whatever. It's like, oh, don't use that word. It's a bad word, blah, blah. Now it's like, you know, people are using it to, like, kind of like that venom out of it.
Yeah.
And he uses it the proper way. Yeah, and it doesn't feel like it's just thrown out there, like, oh, let's use the N-word to surprise people.
Whoa, it's so edgy.
Yeah. It feels like that's what they would have said back then. Mm-hmm. Like, I can imagine that's like, the way they talked.
There was some interview with Quentin where he was like, really? Do you think I used it more than they used it in back then?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, if you're going to do a period piece, you got to use the language of the period. Mm-hmm. I just know, like, if and buts or anything about it, whatever. You have to use the language.
And especially film about slavery.
So it feels so much more authentic, I think. That's by the way, the authenticity of this film is fantastic. Other than obviously the crazy parts of it.
Yeah.
But it feels like you're actually in that time period, though.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing feels like, what's that word? It's like something that's like out of place from the time. It's like,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, whatever. I'm gonna get a dictionary out later and figure it out. But no, there were 64 deaths in this movie. Mm. One by dog, which is still like one of the most terrific ways to die.
Oh, God.
One by person, which is the other horrific way to die. Yeah, it was, man.
We're both of us are looking forward to the Hateful Eight.
Oh, yes, very much so.
And you can bet your bottom dollar that we'll be doing a podcast on that alone.
Pretty much. Man, what was I going to talk about? My favorite part of the movie. Second favorite part of the movie. When he's like up there on upstairs, he looks to the two ladies, yes, and he's like, yes, say goodbye to what's her name, Miss Laura or whatever.
Yeah, goodbye, Miss Laura.
she goes flying. You should just get shot. Like, everybody's gets shot, they fall down. She goes flying out the door. Yep. I don't know how to describe this feeling that I had, but it was just like, I was so happy because that scene was so amazing.
I'm trying to think of my favorite part of the movie. Anything with Samuel Jackson. He's just such a disgusting human being.
Oh, did I say my favorite part? Oh, my favorite part of the movie is like just like the introduction to Christoph Waltz. We sure like first shows up.
Oh my god! He rolls up in that cart with the tooth.
No, that's wrong. I'm sorry. Actually, the third scene. That's the third. The first scene actually is whenever he just shoots the sheriff and is like, "You can go get the marshal now."
Yes. Oh, that part is great.
That's it. That's the one.
Everyone's aiming guns at him, and he's instructing them.
No, before that, it's like, I'm sitting there watching this movie, and I'm like, where's this going? Like, I think that the fact that the audience, or sorry, Jamie Foxx's character was the audience in that scene, was why that scene was so good. Because all the, like, the facial, like, reactions they had, like, all, like, the, just, like, the, what is going on?
He was so out of his element.
Was exactly what was going on in my mind. It was like, what is this guy? Who is this guy? What is he doing? Sorry. Go ahead. Tell with your favorite movie. Moment, sorry.
Man, it's... you know what? It actually might be the part where Leo figures out he's being duped. And he's just going off on them. He just, like... You can tell, like, he knows, but he's pretending not to.
Yeah.
He's like, and then he slowly escalates into this.
Wait, first he pulls out that skull. Fury. First he pulls that skull out there and starts, like, sawing.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, shit. You're like,
who's your little friend? Whatever. It's like, oh, God. It's just disturbing. Actually, imagine, you know, that was actually a real thing that people used to believe. Mm-hmm. Which, like, had the dimples thing. I don't know what the name of it is, like, but it was like psychology.
Yeah.
Now it's obviously, you know, crap and, you know, not true whatsoever. There's no correlation between dimples and a skull to, like, you know, creativity or servitude or anything like stuff. But
yeah.
That was a very interesting thing to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Leo's so great. Yeah. This movie.
Yeah. All right. I think that's everything I have for this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. So do you want to go and rank your Tarantino movies?
I have them listed.
Okay. Oh, piece of paper. That's nice.
Yeah, you can cut out the sound of the piece of paper.
No, it's going to be in there.
Good job, Chris. You're doing an awful job cutting this already. So my rankings... I'm going to have number one, Pulp Fiction. Mm-hmm. Number two, Django Unchained. Number three, Kill Bill. Number four, Reservoir Dogs. Number five, Jackie Brown. And number six, Inglourious Basterds. I know you disagree with me.
I always do. Anyway, so my favorite... Yeah. I heard that part. I was like, my favorite.
Matt Damon.
So my favorite part. God, Lord. Okay, hold on. So my favorite movies would be Kill Bill, Django Unchained, Reservoir Dogs, Inglourious Basterds, Pulp Fiction, and Jackie Brown.
You put Reservoir Dogs above Pulp Fiction?
Yeah. No, I really love Reservoir Dogs. I wasn't kidding. I'm serious. I think it's a great movie. Bastards. Mm-hmm. I put it above Inglourious Bastards too. That's the thing, though.
Yeah,
I gloated about how good the movie was. But to me, I don't know why. I just enjoy Reservoir Dogs. I just really do. Yeah.
Mm. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good.
Yeah, very good. Any last words before we wrap this up?
Quentin Tarantino is a great director. I'm looking forward to anything he does with his career. I'm hoping he keeps a few promises in terms of how he's going to release some stuff. And I'm looking forward to more.
That's pretty much sums up my feeling as well. Look for The Hateful Eight in theaters hopefully at some point in time.
Next Christmas.
Oh, that's so disappointing. Not because... God, I just want to watch a movie right now.
They're shooting it right now.
Yeah. Can't wait. And also, to whoever leaked the script.
Yeah, fuck you.
There you go.
Will Smith.
why is it gonna be Will Smith?
He did it. Oh, we'll cut this. You can cut this somehow back into the Inglourious Bastards conversation.
Maybe you'll just edit this podcast.
I will.
Okay.
Another piece of trivia for you, Chris.
About this movie we're currently talking about,
Inglourious Bastards.
What's that, Tyler?
Quentin Tarantino was going to put Adam Sandler into Inglourious Bastards.
Was he gonna fight Pop? That one.
Was he gonna what?
Was he gonna fight what's his name, Bob Barker?
Bob Barker was gonna play a Nazi.
The price is wrong. Mein Har, whatever.
But Adam Sandler had a contractual obligation to be in, I think it was Funny People.
The price is wrong, Hitler.
You know, he should have been in Eli Roth's role as the Bear Jew.
Oh, man, who... Was somebody else going to play the Bear Jew, but, like, he give it to Eli Roth?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
But, you know, honestly... I'd like to see Adam Sandler in a Quentin Tarantino movie. Because I like his dramatic work.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to skip back to the end of the podcast now. Okay.
So any last words before we wrap this thing up? Other than what we've already said?
No, I don't think so. That covers everything.
That's good. Okay, well, so we'll see you guys in the next podcast. What's our next podcast going to be, Tyler?
We're talking about Christmas movies, Christopher Strong.
So, I guess we can...
Okay, so next week, or whenever we... Yeah, definitely next week.
Next week on Tyler More Time. So that's about 2 more months. It's going to be great. So we'll see you guys, or not see you guys, you'll hear us. And we'll just...
We'll see you, all right.
We see you all the time, you just don't realize it.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
For listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. Be sure to leave your correspondence and subscribe for more. For updates on this show and our other projects, check out illuminationcinema.com.